I've been frightened before, but not like this. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The user-friendly Medicare podcast. And now, direct from his fortress of solitude in Cave Creek, Arizona, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am so happy to have you joining us today. When I say us, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, who introduced the episode. And eventually, I'm going to be mentioning Randy Carson, who is doing the electronics to make this thing sound as good as it does. I can tell you right now, it would sound horrible if Randy weren't working his magic on the other side of the screen, twisting knobs and twiddling dials and doing all kinds of other magical electronic things back there to make the episode sound good. We are here to help people feel comfortable about the transition from Obamacare to Medicare. And sometimes we tell you what we think you should do, and other times we tell you what we think you shouldn't do. And one of those things has to do with Medicare Advantage plans. The last episode I spent talking about some of the historical Medicare Advantage plan abuse of financial integrity that they have been accused of, and how so little of that money has been recovered. And I happen to notice that Randy was his eyeballs were rolling around in his head as though unconsciousness were stalking him. So I thought of something I should open this episode with. So I'm going to say hello to Randy. I'm going to ask him if he could play that 30-second radio spot that we did last year. And after he does that, I'm going to actually formally bring him onto the podcast floor. So Randy, please play that radio spot.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That is the short story of why we're here. It's to help people get through Medicare with as little trauma, fear, and unhappiness as possible. And now, Randy, would you like to join us? I would like to have you turn your mic on and say a few words, if you would.
I am right here. I turned my mic on. And I must admit, I'm still smarting from all the story about the Medicare Advantage plan abuse.
Well, I don't blame you. And I realize that I may not have done a good job explaining how this abuse is allowed to happen. And so I thought, let me start this episode by simplifying the theory that I put forth last episode about how these people are allowed to hoodwink the federal government in some cases, not everybody. And of course, you notice I didn't say any particular insurance company names. But these Medicare Advantage plans, let's suppose that I want to start a Medicare Advantage plan. So I'm going to start my own insurance company. We're going to call it Doug's Insurance Company. And I'm going to go to the federal government. And I'm going to say, look, I want to issue insurance coverage on some people. Now, these people are on Medicare. But if I can convince them to sign up with Doug's Insurance Company, then I will take them away and you will not have to pay for their medical bills if they get sick. And the federal government's sitting there going, hey, I think that's a great idea. We pay something like $2,000 a year on the average for people that are on Medicare. Some of them get sick, some of them don't. But on the average, let's say $2,000 a year. So the government guy is going to say, Doug, what would you charge for providing health insurance for these people that we now have on Medicare? And so I'm Doug. I might say, I'll charge you $1,000 to cover those people. You can save $1,000 and you don't have to pay all those bills and have all of those clerks doing all that paperwork all the time. You just write me a check once a month for $1,000. And that means you save a ton of money in other ways besides just the outlay. So the government guy goes, okay, I'm going to pay you $1,000 instead of keeping $1,000 set aside to pay the medical bills of the average Medicare recipient. And you're going to take care of them. You're going to keep them happy. You're going to give them coverage for their Medicare or their medical expenses. And I'm going to say, yes, I am. So you just give me $1,000 for each individual every month, and I'll do the rest. But then a light bulb goes on over my head, and I say, you know, some of my people are sicker than average. So I would like to get more money paid to my company, my insurance plan, from the government, just to cover the extra expenses that these sicker than average people are going to cost me. When I pay their medical bills, they're going to be more frequent. They're going to be higher medical bills because they're sick. What are they sick with? Well, they have ongoing chronic conditions. Sometimes it's cancer. Sometimes it's diabetes. Sometimes it's other types of complaints. And the government will give me a list of those sick types of individuals that I can ask them for a larger monthly income for. So I go to all the people that have bought up Doug's insurance plan, and I say, do you people have any of these illnesses? And, you know, a bunch of them raise their hands, and I count heads, and then I go to the government, and I say, hey, I've got a whole bunch of people that fit the criteria for a larger monthly payment. So how about it, government? And the government guy is going to say, all right, I'll give you more money for those people. So you've got, 100 people that have these illnesses. I'm going to pay you $1,500 a month instead of $1,000 a month for these people. Now, what if I'm a little on the shady side? And what if I say, okay, you know, I had 100 of them, but probably some of them aren't even reporting their conditions. So how about if I just tell the government that I've got 200 of those people, they can give me a whole bunch of money extra for people that I don't really know if I have, but let's just say that I probably have sick people hidden around in my list of clients that haven't really shown themselves yet. Okay, well, the government guy seems to be pretty free with his money. And so I have just now lied or defrauded the government by lying about the amount of people I have that need extra treatment. And that's the way these Medicare Advantage plans were defrauding the government and collecting huge amounts of money that they didn't really have coming to them because they lied about the number of people that were sicker than average and in order to collect more money from the government. So I think I should have put that explanation into the last episode. And I did it now. And I'm hoping that since they're right next to each other in the podcast directory, that people will be able to connect the two. So anyway, Randy's looking at me like, what am I even doing here? Why do I, why did I even show up today? And I guess the reason he showed up is to watch me do some mailbag items, which always makes his visits to the local taverns a lot more fun, because when he goes to the Buffalo Chip or when he goes to Harold's, people usually complain that they haven't heard any medical or any mailbag items from our correspondents. But when they do write in and when I'm able to read them on the air, apparently they're a lot happier. So Randy doesn't get a bunch of crap from his fellow drinkers at the bars. So I'm just going to tear into a few mailbag items, and I'm hoping that Randy will let me know when we've run out of time, because I don't want to make this a really long episode. But right on top of the stack, and this came in January, in April. This person says, I retire on April 30th and currently have company-provided medical insurance. He says, is it correct that Plan N oglers, but I think he means offers, less benefits than Plan G? What are the differences and why is it not discussed? It seems to be a result of the 2019 change by Congress to change the deduction. Well, this gentleman here is, I believe, using dictating instead of typing, because there are a few oddball words in this question. But I think what he's saying is, why is nobody talking about Plan N, Medicare Supplement Plan N, and why are people only talking about Medicare Supplement Plan G? Well, who's doing the talking? That would be people that collect a commission from selling the Medicare supplement plans to their clients. Those people are, like me, commission salespeople, and they get a commission every time a product is sold. The insurance company sends them a check for a percentage of whatever the client has purchased. Now, the more expensive the product the client has purchased, the larger that check is going to be, the more money that insurance guy makes. And so, what is the most expensive plan a newly aged 65, a new Medicare eligible person is able to enroll in? That would be Plan G, Medicare Supplement Plan G. That is the most expensive Medicare supplement in any given part of the United States that a person can buy. So that is why you're going to hear nothing but talk about Plan G. Now, let's just throw some numbers out there. In this case, this person that wrote me, wherever he lives is got to be a weird, weird place. But his Plan G from various companies, I've listed three companies here, $223 a month, $249 a month, and $195 a month. That's what Plan G would cost. Now, that's the richest benefit structure. After a $200 annual deductible, the plan pays for every Medicare or medical expense that is eligible to be reimbursed under Medicare. So then we go to Plan N, because he specifically asked about Plan N. He asked whether it covers less stuff. What Plan N covers mostly is the regular stuff that Plan G covers, but it offers copay for doctor's office visits and emergency room visits. So every time you go see the doctor, you're going to have to pay up to $20 to the doctor in order to be able to see the doctor if you have Plan N, Medicare Supplement Plan N. So that plan is not quite as expensive as Plan G. The ones I've got here are $162, $187, and $157. So, you know, $223 for one company was Plan G, which covers almost everything, $160 for Plan N. And those are, pretty high, higher than average. I would expect more like in the neighborhood of $150 for a Plan G and $100 for Plan N in most parts of the country. This person must live in a pretty weird place, like Washington State would be an unusual place to live. Now, what do I recommend for a person like this? I recommend high deductible Plan G, because most people are not going to have to pay a lot of extra money out of their pocket, but look at the savings they're going to be able to realize by having the high deductible Plan G every month. So the high deductible Plan G for one company is going to be $61. Now let's go back. Plan G for that company was $223. Plan N was $162. And high deductible Plan G is only $61. So this person's going to be saving at least $100 a month, if not like about $150 a month, by taking the high deductible Plan G. And if they fall afoul, if they have a bad year and they have a lot of medical expenses, then they can take that savings, that money they saved, right out of their pocket and reimburse themselves for the deductible that the high deductible Plan G imposed upon them. Now, let's take the company number two. We had $249 a month for Plan G, which is what most people are buying nowadays. We had $187 a month for Plan N. So this company actually charges more for Plan N than the first company I listed, 187. And then if we were to take that company's high deductible plan G, $47. So in this case, they would be saving something like $202 a month by taking high deductible plan G versus regular plan G. They'd be saving $145 a month by taking regular plan, or excuse me, high deductible plan G instead of plan N. So paying $47 a month and saving all of that extra money by not buying a richer plan really pays off. The third company I have on my chart, Plan G was $195. Plan N was somewhat less expensive at $157. High deductible Plan G, $40 a month. So in this case, they would be saving $117 per month by not taking Plan N, or $155 a month saved right back into their pocket by not taking Plan G. So he asked about the benefit structure Plan N. Yes, there are some copays. One copay for doctor's office visits, I think it's $20, and a copay if you need to go to a hospital emergency room but are not admitted to the hospital, I think that's $50. Otherwise, Plan N is fairly close to Plan G. It's somewhat less expensive, but it's going to be still a lot more expensive than the plan I promote, which is high deductible Plan G. In this case, I think we've just shown, oh, this gentleman is in Orange County, California. So that's California is another weird insurance location where you can't really predict what the premiums are going to be like. You have to actually tell the computer to show them to you, and then you got to figure out which one's going to be best for the client. In this case, hands down, every time, high deductible Plan G. And that includes Plan N. Plan N did not come up looking that good next to the high deductible Plan G. So, Randy, what kind of time frame have we burned up all of our time today?
Actually, no. You have 3 minutes and 33 seconds left.
I think I can do a little something with that. And I am going to talk about this gentleman who wrote and said, let's see. Hi, Doug. He said, I brought your book and found it exceedingly helpful. We live in Massachusetts and know that our Medigap or Medicare supplement choices are limited. Two questions. Do you have any recommendations for a Medigap plan and a prescription plan to those unfortunate souls like us who live in Taxachusetts? And I said, thanks for writing. You have thrown down the gauntlet and I am ready to meet the challenge. I will be happy to research the available Medicare supplement plans within the parameters established by the Commonwealth. In the meantime, finding the best deal in a prescription drug plan is something more achievable. Would you like to tell me about your prescriptions and where you like to fill them on the attached single page form? I have a little questionnaire that I send to people that want to know what the best drug plan would be. And this allows me to take the information they give me on that questionnaire and then go to the government website and run the detail through it. And it tells me which one is least expensive. And then I said, also, it would be helpful to know your date of birth, zip code, county, and whether you are eligible for a household discount by virtue of living with someone like a spouse. Please return that information to me and I will jump on it right away. And then the gentleman said, thank you for your quick response. Attaches the medication list you asked for. Do you know why Massachusetts only allows two supplement plans? And it really is. Massachusetts is an oddball state. There are three oddball states in the union, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. They do not have the same Medicare supplement plans available to the rest of us. In Massachusetts' case, they only have two, a really, really stripped down version, and then a version that includes all coverages, a very rich plan that probably is very expensive. So anyway, this gentleman says, do you know why Massachusetts only allows for two supplement plans? My wife is retiring in July, so I have to get things lined up for her soon. Appreciate the help, and I will recommend you to other people. So I responded to him, "Thanks for returning my questionnaire, sir. Attached is the result of the plan comparison process from the government website showing the three least expensive prescription drug plans based on your wife's location, drug regimen, and favorite pharmacies. Please note that I cannot guarantee that this one plan would be the mail order pharmacy used by the plan she ultimately selects. This comparison shows that so-and-so plan is the least expensive choice. If she were to enroll in that plan with a May 1st start date and fill all prescriptions at your local CVS pharmacy, the total out-of-pocket cost for the rest of this year, and that is insurance premium plus drug copay, would be $178. That includes insurance plan premium as well as drug copays. I think I might have just said that. If all prescriptions were to be filled using that plan's mail order service, the total out-of-pocket cost for the rest of the year would only be $132. Then I said, I don't have a contract with that company, but I noted that the plan number and telephone number so that Mrs. So-and-so can call and complete her own enrollment directly with them. If you and she prefer to enroll in the WellCare or Humana plans at somewhat higher cost, I would be happy to do the paperwork to complete the enrollment in either of those plans. The enrollment may begin anytime for a July 1st start date. It'll be necessary to complete enrollment in parts A and B of Medicare before everything can be wrapped up. Then I said, I want to address your question about Medicare supplement plans in Massachusetts with the answer as to why Massachusetts does not allow a wider range of coverage to those who want to buy a Medicare supplement is a mystery to me. The one company I am contracted with, Humana, that offers a Medicare supplement in Massachusetts, offers the core standard benefit for about $150 per month, or the 1A standard benefits for around $240 per month. The way I read the chart, anyway, as you may have surmised from my book, other states allow insurance companies a great deal of latitude, which can result in excellent coverage costing closer to $50 or less per month. I will be happy to send you the Humana material I have describing the Medicare supplements, coverage, and costs if you would like to proceed towards the next step in the process. Just let me know if I can be of further service. Well, I'm not sure that I heard from him. I do have a file with his name on it, so I got to go look and see. But basically, this just reinforces the fact that Massachusetts is one of three states that has an unusual set of rules governing Medicare Advantage or Medicare supplement plans. And it's hard to get a good deal there with the high deductible Plan G, as I recommend for people in almost every other state. So I bet I burned up that 3 minutes.
Yes, we've used it up, but we used it up well. Oh, so, good. You know, I feel good about that.
I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
We do need to land the plane.
Yeah, sometimes
however,
gravity takes care of that for us.
It does sometimes, and it's a lot quicker than you would though.
It's not the fall; it's that sudden stop at the end of the trip.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're an old skydiver too. So yeah, the fall doesn't hurt. It's the sudden stop at the end.
There you go. Well, thank you.
So
thank you, people, for joining.
Thank you for. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know. I guess we're both saying goodbye at the same time. We should have practiced this.
Well, you know, we just have a conversation, so it's not really scripted. But we thank everybody for joining us. We really do enjoy it. And we look forward to seeing you all again next time on Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. But in the meantime, they need to go to Amazon.com. They need to buy several copies of your book, the latest and greatest 2021 book. And also, you definitely need to possibly get the audiobook because, you know, you might want to listen to the audiobook on the way to work. You might want to listen to it, you know, anywhere. It's an audiobook you can take care
of.
Yeah,
you might want to listen to it when you fall asleep at night. Let it rock your mind into oblivion. That's what Medicare does to some people.
But, absolutely.
You might be one of the minority, the vocal minority that enjoys it. So why not give it a try?
Absolutely. So anyway, thanks everybody. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy and the CEO of Medicare for the Lazy Man.
Bye-bye.